But the editor of the Red and Black, and I'm not sure if that was Eric or if that was Mike or if it was somebody else, got together with Jeff Wilson, who was the editor of the Clemson student paper. And I apologize, I don't know what their paper's called.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, the Tiger. It's called the Tiger.
How creative is that?
See, you're getting them started
already.
I'm
just kidding.
You're getting them started already.
I'm a big proponent of student journalism.
So anyway, they decided to run opposing columns that week about the game. And it got a little sideways because Mike's column, which wasn't supposed to, I think wasn't supposed to run until Friday, I think got leaked out or whatever, I'm not sure. But it was pretty scathing. And the funny thing is, Mike and I are fraternity brothers, although I'm a couple years older than Mike. But Mike is from the same hometown I am, although we didn't go to the same high school. But anyway, so he's from South Carolina, writes a column about the rivalry and the name of the, I think the column was called "What Does Clemson Have?" I think is what it was called.
And, I like it already.
Yeah.
You
gotta remember, this was 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It said, "Take a look at the top 20 bowl teams of all time. No Clemson. Gaze at a list of the 40 winningest programs in the history of college football. Still no Clemson. How about a list of the 30 best teams in regards to winning percentage? Gee, there must be a mistake because Clemson can't be found there either." So that was part of Mike's column that he had written. And Mike is nice enough to join us from Augusta. Brother Floyd, how are you doing today?
I am well, my friend. As you well know, it was not easy growing up in Spartanburg during that time as
Coach
Bulldog.
Well, I know your dad passed away a few years ago. I didn't have any attachment to Georgia when I grew up in Spartanburg. Did you have family that went to Georgia?
You know, I am the rarest of the rare. My dad went to Georgia, and my grandfather and my great-grandfather.
Oh, my gosh. Well, no
legacy.
Wonder.
So it goes a long way back. Yeah,
oh, my Lord.
Sure
okay,
does.
Okay.
I've been going to games in the mid-70s with my dad. In fact, I think the first one was probably Georgia at Clemson in 1977, which we lost 12-7, as I recall. So,
well, man,
it goes back a long way.
How about that? So you were a fourth-generation guy at that point.
Correct.
Excellent.
You know, maybe I'll convince one of these six kids over here to make it five. We'll see.
Well, you do have the power of persuasion, so I bet that will happen.
That is true.
Yes.
That is true.
So, tell us what your memories are of how all that got put together of when, you know, I mean, how long did it take you to write that column, and how did that start?
It didn't take long. that had been cooped up for a long time. My mistake, I have to say, was sending it over to them first thing Monday morning. You had said it was leaked. Well, I guess it was kind of leaked by me. I just didn't assume that they were going to send it to every radio station in the state. And people were going to be calling me in my room asking me, wanting to get me on the radio. It escalated quickly, you might say.
So did you do all the? Did you? So you did radio interviews leading up to the game.
Well, I didn't have any choice. People I didn't know were calling me in my room. You know, calling. I don't know how they got my number. Listen, it started like this. I sent it to them Monday, and it was supposed to be due on Thursday for a Friday print leading up to the game. And I think Randy Walker had come up with this, and he had said, you know, he was the editor of the Red and Black at the time, and had said,
okay,
you know, we always do this. We send opposing columns to rivals, and this is going to be a lot of fun. And so I said, sure, I'll get it to you without a problem. You're from Spartanburg, you write it. You hate Clemson. So, sure, I'm your guy. So sending it to them on Monday, I think, was probably my first mistake. My phone rang Tuesday afternoon. It was my dad in Spartanburg, and he said, "Mike, what in the hell have you done?"
And knowing you, that probably wasn't the first time he'd asked you that question.
Yeah. So his phone began lighting up, I guess, Monday night, with people who were less than enthused about his son's literary prowess, if you will. So.
Well, I know it was an interesting week for sure. And, you know, like I said, you said that, that it didn't take you long to write that column because it had been building up in you over the years.
Listen, when you grew up over there, as you did, you know, I mean, you can reel off of the off these 1980 Georgia-Clemson games, you know, just off the top of your head.
Oh, yeah.
Warner in 1980. You know, 1981, Georgia goes over to Clemson, fumbles the ball seven times as the defending national champion, winds up losing to Clemson 13-3, and Clemson wins the national title. You open on Labor Day in 82 with Herschel Hurt, block a punt, you know, and win in Athens 13-7. The next year they tie 16-16 with Butler and Igwe Bigwe, who was Clemson's kicker, both of them kicking trying to kick one a mile to
yep.
end the game. Both of them missed. You know, and it winds up 16-16. But, you know, they ran the Clemson kicker out there with a few seconds left. There was 1 second. He missed. There's 1 second left on the clock. Georgia runs Butler out. You know, and these things, they're trying to kick a ball 65 yards.
Yep.
You know.
Hey, and both of those guys were capable of it, too.
In 84.
Yeah.
You know, in 84, Butler beats them. 85, we went over there with James Jackson, beat them 20-13. And then Treadwell killed us. In 86 and 87, beat us on the last play 2 years in a row.
Brutal.
And so, you know, we took a little time off, I guess, 87, 88. No, 88
and 89, yeah. Didn't play them again until that disaster in 90.
They really – that's even with all of the Spurrier nightmares of the 70s, that Clemson team that day beat Georgia as bad as I've ever seen Georgia beat. I remember walking down the elevator or going down the elevator with Chip Towers and just said, you know, Chip, if I didn't know what the score was, they could have beat us 60-0.
Yeah.
It was ugly. Ugly. So that was what was leading up to this 91 game, is Georgia kind of in a rebuilding mode. Clemson had won a lot of games the last few years. I mean, they had really put themselves on the map. And a lot of talk, all the talk that came with it, they actually had won three in a row over Georgia. You know, David, I'd have to go back and look, but I bet probably for the first time since maybe
early in the series they won a bunch in a row.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was the first time in literally like 70 years or something.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So, you know, so you go in that game kind of feeling like you're in a perilous position. Clemson was number 6 in the country, had a great defense. And you know, it was the introduction of Eric Zier for sure. Who still to this day probably throws the most catchable pass that I've ever seen a Georgia quarterback throw. I mean, just a beautiful ball, and that was our first real exposure to him. Georgia had gone over and lost Alabama, a really good Alabama team, just prior to this game, 10-0. And as I recall, we were in that game to the end.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was 0-0 at halftime.
It was a slobber knocker, as they like to say.
It was. So yeah, there was a lot leading into this game, and you know, really, I think it for Clemson it was about respect and about they were living a little bit in the present. You know, to them, this series was a series that had been tied 5-5-1 over the last 11 years, and to Georgia, Clemson was a team that we used to eat as a cupcake. You know,
right?
So there's a real contrast there. I think Georgia had a lot of trouble respecting Clemson. And I think Clemson resented it.
Well, and the thing, too, is the series is lopsided, and they had won like 6 or 7 in a row back in the, you know, at the turn of the century. So it was even more lopsided than even the record looked like at the time.
That's right.
And like you said,
well,
I mean,
Georgia used to schedule Clemson the way we schedule Appalachian State and Georgia Southern today. I mean, truly. I mean, that program has changed that much.
Well, and there's a lot of folks that would say, hey, let's just put Clemson back on the schedule full time.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And well, you know, I tell you, I'm excited for the future in terms of where Georgia is scheduling. You know, we're going to see Clemson 6 times in the next 12 years. That's fantastic. It would be tough to schedule them every year, and I think even Clemson would concede that. Clemson benefits greatly from scheduling Georgia. I mean, they recruit very heavily in Northeast Georgia in particular. Deshaun Watson, you know, obviously Lawrence is a Northwest Georgia guy from up in Cartersville, but I mean that's a Georgia guy.
Well, all their natties have been
over here.
Yeah, all their natties have been won by quarterbacks from the state of Georgia. So you know,
Homer Jordan was from Athens.
Exactly.
You know, so So, you know, I think Clemson knows it benefits them greatly to recruit, or excuse me, to schedule Georgia. But, you know, you look at what Georgia's doing, kind of to get a little sidetracked here, but it's a good time to be a Georgia fan, man. I mean, you look at the schedule. We've got six games with Clemson coming up. We have a home and home with UCLA, Ohio State, Texas, Oklahoma, Florida State.
Love it.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Love it.
This is amazing.
We just got to get there because it's still another, 4 years away, 5 years away. Yeah. But once we get there, get it every year for sure.
Hey, Mike, let me take
you. We opened with them in 21?
Yeah, next season.
Charlotte.
Next year.
Yeah.
As far as the home and homes.
Right on.
Yeah.
Right on.
As far as the home and homes, I can't wait for those. All right, what were you going to say, Logan?
I was going to say, Mike, let's go back to 1991 for a second. You obviously caught a whole lot of you-know-what the entire week after writing that article. You said people were calling your dorms, and you had officially trolled the fan base of Clemson before trolling was really a thing. But when the game was going on, the second half is rolling through, and Georgia's building a lead, and it's becoming pretty obvious that Georgia's about to beat number 6 Clemson, and it's a really good night. There had to have been something inside of you that felt like it was a personal victory as well, because the team just backed up what you wrote in the column.
Well, every win over Clemson
is a
personal victory for me. If you grew up in Spartanburg, it was tough. It was tough, and you know, and David will attest to that. So, that was an exciting weekend. You know, all that activity leading up to it was a big weekend in Athens. I mean, you know, the Braves came out of nowhere and clinched the pennant that night, which was great. You know, if you really want to go out and have a good time in Athens, if I recall correctly, Nine Inch Nails was opening for the Pixies at Georgia Theater after the game.
The Pixies, okay.
So, yeah.
That's crazy.
If you're an alternative music person.
Love it.
So it was a big weekend. It was a big weekend, and I really don't think anybody thought Georgia had a chance coming to that game. Clemson was very much on the upswing. And Georgia had a tough year in 1990. You know, we had gone down and lost to LSU to open the season in 90, and then you had a little bit of hope. You know, you beat Southern Miss with Brett Favre, which is a funny story I'll tell you in a minute. But then you beat Alabama in Athens, and you thought maybe we're on the right track, and then Clemson just completely annihilated them, and you know the wheels on the bus quit going round and round at that point. You finished 4-7. And so, a lot of question marks coming into 91. This was a brief window in history here, that 91 and 92 team, where you thought, you know what, maybe Goff is going to get this together. You know, finished 9-3 in 91. 92, that was a really good football team in 92.
Very good.
You know, lost by three, you know, to turnovers. It got you at home against Tennessee. You lost by three. You know, it's a debacle in Florida, getting beat by two when you would have clinched the SEC East and gone to the SEC title, to play Alabama, and that team actually matched up pretty well against
them. Yeah, and that would have been the very first SEC championship game.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Georgia had the firepower in that game with Hastings and Hurst and Zier. They could have given Alabama a pretty good game, but you know, it didn't happen. Beat Ohio State in the Citrus Bowl. You know, and everybody kind of thinks we're going in the right direction, and then wham, you know, 94 happens. You start out 1-4, and it's you know the rest.
What were you going to say about Southern Miss?
Oh, I was.
And I got one other question I've been asked to ask you.
I was at a show out in Las Vegas, and a mutual friend is friends with Brett Favre. So
Mike.
We met him at.
How many great stories start out with, I was at a show in Las Vegas?
A lot. Yeah, a lot of them.
All right. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So I meet Favre, and we're hanging out, and I said, you know, I've met you before. And he said, is that right? And I said, yeah, I interviewed you after the 1990 Georgia Southern Miss game in Athens. And he looked at me. His entire attitude changed. He just kind of growled. He said, we dragged Georgia up and down the field all day. I said, I know you did. So I talked to you afterwards. You're pretty upset. He had taken them all the way down the field in the final couple of minutes and set them up for a chip shot field goal, like a 20-yard field goal.
They hit the upright.
And I'll never forget being down on the – that's exactly right. The place was so quiet. When it clanked off the uprights, you could hear it. It was bang, yong, 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 yong. And then everybody went nuts. Georgia won 18-17, you know. So
incredible.
He was Yeah, he was not happy after that game. But as I'm getting ready to go, I publish a literary journal, a fly fishing wingsuit literary journal called Gray Sporting Journal, and I handed him the magazine, and I said, here, you may want to look at that. And he looked at it, signed it, and handed it back to me. And I said, well, I wasn't really trying to get your autograph. I thought you might want the magazine. And he just looked at me and said, I'm gonna be honest, I don't read.
That's fantastic. Is fantastic.
Oh, man.
All right, one other person who shall remain nameless wanted me to ask you also about maybe trying to take a road trip to Clemson to break the rock.
I don't know anything about that.
Mike, statute of limitations are long gone. It's okay to talk about it right now.
Idea. Yeah, that was somebody else's idea. Who have you been talking to?
I'll text you and let you know.
When Dave started this conversation with my former fraternity brother, I knew things could get squirrely pretty bad here.
It was going to be trouble.
Yes.
Yeah, it was going to be trouble for sure.
That is too funny. So, so you live in Augusta, and tell everybody what you just mentioned it, but what you're doing now and what you've been doing for a long time.
Yeah, I publish a magazine called Gray Sporting Journal. It's a submission-based literary journal. Fly fishing, wing shooting, big game hunting. Been there 25 years. It's nice. A lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. Gets me out and about a little bit. I spent a lot of time in Alaska.
Awesome.
So it's good. It's good. You know, wife and six kids here in Augusta. We like it here.
Now, have you been quarantining with all the kids?
We have been quarantining with the kids. That's been a bit of a challenge. You know, I work from home anyway.
You could use some Alaska time right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could. I have a toddler, and the toddler and I were doing fine, but you bring everybody else into the mix, and it's become a little bit of a – it's been challenging. I don't mind telling you.
Well, man, you just tell them you know all about having to, live with South Carolina and Clemson fans, so this quarantining is nothing. That's exactly right. So,
that's
plus,
exactly
you live on
right.
the, you know, Augusta, you got plenty of Clemson and Georgia and South Carolina fans all over
goodness.
There together,
yeah, we
too.
Sure do. I mean, I could throw a rock to South Carolina from here, really. So, it's a big hodgepodge. You know, they do that, that event down on the river every year, Georgia and South Carolina.
Yeah.
Leading up to the game, which is always a pretty good time, have a pretty good band. Back when I used to be able to go out and enjoy such things before getting tied down with the kiddos.
Back in the day, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, back in the day. You know, time goes by pretty quickly. I think the biggest thing that surprises me about this column is that it's still around. I mean, I guess, you know, the Internet lives forever, but this was kind of before the Internet. And, every time Georgia and Clemson play, I get an occasional surprise phone call from somebody.
Like yesterday.
Some of them good, some of them good, some of them not so good.
That's right.
Do you have a copy of it framed or anything?
Well, I do not, actually. I do not have one, and I haven't looked at it in years, but the last time I saw it, I walked into a restaurant in Greenwood, South Carolina, and looked, and it was framed above the bar. I said, Well,
we have a loyal caller from Greenwood named Bulldog Bert. He may have, who knows, he may have something to do with that.
It could be him.
Yes.
It could be him. That's right. That's right.
I love it. So.
Mike, great to catch up with you, my man.
By the way,
appreciate it. Yes.
Real quick, Dave, before we went on air, I was talking to Mike, and he said he needs a good radio show in Augusta. I told him to tap the app, man. We got to download 960 The Ref.
That's
so
right.
We can
I will do that.
Listen to us out there.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yep.
And,
bet,
Mike,
thank
yeah, thanks so much, man. It's great catching up with you. And
we will
do this again sometime.
I hope so. And, Give me a call. I hope to see you in Athens sometime this year.
Yeah, if you don't call next time you come over, you're in trouble.
I got you.
You'll be missing a free beer.
See you then.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks,
all right.
Take
Thanks,
care.
Mike.
Mike Floyd. Go Dogs.